Ron with us, that he's able to be out. Hope he'll soon be well. And all those who are sick, that God would restore them back to their health. It's good that we can be together tonight and sing these songs and pray to God and study His Word. We'd like to study tonight on the power of the Word, the power of the Word of God. We know that God is all-powerful, almighty, all-wise, is omnipresent. We notice in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 tells us that the Word of God is powerful. He says, "For the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and joints and marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." And so the Word of God is alive, it's living, it's powerful, and it's sharp. The Word of God is quicker, you might say, than lightning, or quicker than anything that we know of. It's more powerful than the atomic bomb or anything that man could make. It's sharper than a razor. The Word will save those who obey it and destroy those who will disobey it. And so it's important for us that we love the Word of God, that we respect it, that we realize how powerful His Word is. The gospel is God's power to save. Paul wrote in Romans 1, verse 16 and 17, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." And so the gospel is God's power unto salvation. It tells us what we must do to be saved and how to live the Christian life. We must believe and obey Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In John 8 and verse 24, "I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins." And so we must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believe everything that He tells us to do. The Bible tells us that God's Word is like a fire. The Word of God burned like a fire in the heart of Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 20 and verse 9, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not." And so here Jeremiah, the prophet, was warning people. They had mocked him, made fun of him, ridiculed him. And he said, "I will not make mention of him, nor speak anything in his name." But notice he could not keep from speaking about God and warning them. He says, "His word was in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary of holding it back, and I could not." And so he couldn't hold it back any longer. It was like a fire in his heart. The Word of God should burn in our hearts and cause us to tell the good news of the gospel to others. It should be burning in our hearts and causing us to tell others about Jesus, the joys of salvation. We know that fire produces power. I worked in a powerhouse for several years and worked in a boiler room, and we had a couple of large boilers, and one of the boilers had pulverized coal. It would hammer this coal into powder, and it would throw this coal into the boiler, and the fire would burn so bright you couldn't hardly look in the boiler without a dark glass. And there was all kinds of tubes, and the fire would heat the water, turn it to steam. The steam would then go over into the engine room and turn the turbines, and this would make electricity. We made a lot of our electricity, and the steam was also used in drying and making paper in the mill, back in the mill. And so fire produces power. Yes, fire can produce electricity and power that we need. Also, the Word of God is like a hammer. In Jeremiah 23 and verse 29, "Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. And so it's like a hammer that will break a rock into pieces. The Word of God can break the hard hearts and stubborn wills of men. Yes, the hardest heart, even murderers and men who've done all kinds of wicked things, sometimes the Word of God will break their hearts and cause them to obey God and to serve God. One must hear and be taught the Word before it can be effective. And so we have to hear the Word of God for it to have the power to cause us to do the will of God. In John 6 and verse 45, it is written in the prophets, "They shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." And so this word, like a hammer, a person has to hear the word, hear it and then believe it and obey it. Yes, we must be taught. The most hardened sinner will sometimes cry and humble themselves. No doubt you've seen people when they come forward to obey the gospel with tears in their eyes. Yes, it softens their heart. Also, the word of God is like rain. In Deuteronomy 32 and verse 2, "Let my teaching drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, as rain drops on the tender herb, as showers on the grass." And so we know that when it's hot and dry, there's nothing more important to the farmer than a good rain. Just this year, we were, I think, about 10 inches, 9 or 10 inches below normal. How dry it is and how important it is to have rain. The farmers must have the rain in order for the crops to grow, for the seed to sprout. I was watching on the the channel last night, History Channel, about the Dust Bowl back in 1929 through 1935. For about 6 years there, it rained very little, and it showed clouds of dark dust flying, coming to people. They were trying to get away from it, and a lot of people died. It was so dry and so dusty. Tons of dirt was picked up by the wind and blowed in the air, and people couldn't raise anything, and they were very poor, and people died because it was so hot and so dry and so much dust in the air. And so we see the importance of rain. We must have rain and water in order to live. A good rain waters every plant. Some plants, like the large tree, needs more water than smaller plants. And probably sometime next year, a lot of trees will die as a result of this lack of rain this year. We know that Moses commanded the priests to read the Word of God to men, women, and children, the importance of God's Word. Hearing the Word of God, it's like rain that we need. In Deuteronomy 31, verses 11 through verse 13, "When all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses, you shall read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men, women, and little ones, and the stranger who is within your gates, that they may hear, that they may learn to fear the Lord your God, and be careful. Be carefully observe all the words of this law, that their children who have not known it may hear and learn to hear the Lord your God as long as you shall live in the land which you cross the Jordan to possess." And so here we see the importance of God's Word. The men, women, and children were to hear the Word of God and to learn it and to remember it and to obey it. Yes, as all need the rain, all need the Word of God. In 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 6, the Apostle Paul says, "I planted," he planted the seed, "Apollos watered, God gave the increase." And so we need the planting, we need the water, and we need God to give the increase. Also, the Word of God is like a mirror. Looking into the mirror of God's Word, we can see ourselves as we really are. We might deceive ourselves, but if we look carefully into the Word of God, we can see the kind of person that we are. In James 1, verse 22 through 25, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing the natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continueth in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. And so let's not be like the one who looks into a mirror and then forgets what we look like. Let's not look into God's word and see how we really are and then just go away and forget about it. But when we see those blemishes and marks and mistakes that we make, we need to correct them and make it right. We know that Felix, the Roman governor, trembled when he saw his true self in the mirror of God's word. In Acts 24, verse 24 and 25, and after some days when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, "Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I'll call for you." And so when he looked into God's mirror, into God's word, and he realized his lost condition, he was afraid. He saw his condition, but he wasn't willing to change his life. We see Jesus when we look into the word of God, and we're to become like him, to follow his example. In 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as the Spirit of the Lord. And so when we look into the mirror and see the glory of the Lord, and of course we should strive to be like him, we need to look into the mirror of God's word and see our faults, and we can correct them to be like our Lord Jesus Christ. Also, the word of God is like soap and water. In Psalms 119, verse 9, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. And so it's the word of God that cleanses us from our sins. It takes soap and water to make a dirty person clean. An unbeliever said that God's word is a failure. He says, look at all the sinners in the world. And he blamed God's word because of all the sinners. A Christian said, well, soap and water is a failure. Look at all the dirty people in the world. And then the believer said, well, you must use the soap and water to be cleaned. Well, the same is true with the word of God. You must use the word of God to be cleansed of your sin and be a new person. And so a person's not going to be cleansed unless they hear, believe, and obey God's word. When a person is baptized, the blood of Jesus washes away his sins. Ephesians 5, 25 and 26. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church, gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. Here Paul's referring to baptism, the washing of water. Yes, the word tells us that we're to be baptized, to be saved, to come in contact with the blood of Christ. Saul of Tarsus was told to be baptized to wash away his sins. In Acts 22, verse 16, Ananias said, now why tarest thou? Rise, be baptized, wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And so it cleanses us when we're baptized into Christ. We know that many teach that one is clean or saved before they're washed or baptized. Yes, are your clothes clean before you or after you wash them with soap and water? It sounds ridiculous to me for a person to say a person is clean before they're washed. Of course, baptism is a washing away of sin through the blood of Christ. Yes, we need to obey the gospel and be baptized. Then we're forgiven, and then we're added to the Lord's church. The word is like a lamp in Psalms 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Yes, God's word is a light that guides us and directs us in the path that God wants us to travel. Have you ever been out at night and it pitched black and you had no light and you couldn't hardly see where you were or where you were going? And then you have a light to help you to see your way. And yes, God's word is a light to guide us. We should always carry God's word in our hearts to guide our steps through this dark, sinful world. For us to travel the way that leads to heaven, we must follow the light of God's word. In Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, Jesus said, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Yes, most people are walking in darkness. Yes, they're traveling the wide way, broad way that leads to destruction. In Psalms 119, verse 130, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." John 3:19, "And this is the condemnation. Light is come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." And so many people hate the light. They don't want the light because they're walking in darkness of sin. Yes, God's word, a light, will guide us. The light of the word exposes the evil deeds of the wicked. The devil blinds the minds of the unbeliever. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who's the image of God, should shine unto them." And so a lot of people allow Satan to take the word out of their hearts. To have fellowship with God, we must walk in the light of God's word. Now, the worlds were created by the word of God. We see the power of God, the power of his word. In Hebrews 13 and verse 3, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." And so the worlds were framed by the word of God. All God had to do was speak, and it came to pass. In 2 Peter 3, verses 5 through 7, "For this they willingly forget, by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire unto the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." And so God destroyed the world with a flood. All he had to do was to speak and cause the flood. And he says all this is being preserved until there's going to be come a time when there's going to be a fire that will destroy the heavens and the earth. The word create means to bring something into being or cause it to exist. God created the heavens and the earth and all things therein by his word. Of course, there in Genesis chapter 1, it tells us about the creation. All God had to do was to speak. We see the power in God's word. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw the light that it was good. God divided the light from the darkness." And so all God had to do was to say, "Let there be light," and there was light. Yes, 6 days God created the heavens and the earth. He rested on the seventh day. Also, the Bible, the word of God, is the power of God. We're saved by his word. In James 1 and verse 21, "Therefore lay apart all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." The word of God is able to save our souls. Only the word of God can save us. We notice there in Acts, the second chapter, when the church was established, thousands of Jews heard Peter and the apostles. And they were pricked in their hearts. It says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, said unto Peter, the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so Peter here was preaching the word of God to these lost souls, and he told them what they must do to be saved. They believed, they were told to repent and be baptized. We know the word of God will never be destroyed. Man cannot destroy the word of God. It is everlasting. In 1 Peter 1, verses 24 and 25, for all flesh is as grass, all the glory of men as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the fire thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. This is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And so the word of the Lord endureth forever. In Matthew 24, verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away. My words shall not pass away. Yes, when all flesh is gone to the dust, all honors of this life is forgotten, the word of God will still exist as true and powerful as ever. Yes, many have tried to destroy the word of God. Man cannot destroy it. Thomas Paine wrote a book called The Age of Reason. He thought he could get people to not believe in God. Also, Voltaire and Ingersoll, infidels, atheists, thought they could destroy the Bible, destroy God's word. Hitler, he tried to burn the Bibles. Men cannot destroy the word of God. It endures forever. It's all powerful. We'll be judged by the word of God. In John 12, verse 48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. And so the word of God is going to judge us in the last day. We're going to stand before Jesus and be judged. In Matthew 20, verse 11 and 12, I saw a great white throne, him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life. The dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And so God's word is going to face us there in the judgment. The book of life, the book of deeds will be there. And we're going to be judged by God's word. In conclusion, we see in this lesson how powerful the word of God is. It's like fire. It's like a hammer. It's like rain. It's like a mirror. It's like soap and water that cleanses, like a lamp to light our way. The worlds were created by the word of God. We're saved by the word of God. The word will never be destroyed. We'll be judged by the word of God. And so we see the power that is in God's word, and we need to respect it and love it. Yes, we need to crave the word of God. Read and study his word and meditate upon it each day of our life. If you're here tonight and you need to obey the gospel, Jesus invites you to come. To become a Christian, you must have faith in God, believe that he is. You must repent of your sins. You must confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Then you must be baptized in water to wash away your sins. And then be faithful, live the Christian life, heaven will be your home. And so if you need to obey the gospel in anything that you need, why don't you come now while we stand and sing this song.